Twins win today. They get tomorrow off. Tomorrow on Drive Time, we're going to have a Minnesota Twins pitcher who didn't get traded. We were worried about it. He didn't get traded. He is collaborating at a smoothie. Very interesting. So we'll talk about that during DeRussia Eats tomorrow. Let's get going. It is 5 o'clock always. We get you up to date on the stories that are of greatest interest to us. We think they'll be of interest to you, too. We call it the D-Rush Hour.
The headlines you might have missed. Without missing a beat. This is your fast pass through the biggest and most impactful stories of the day. Welcome to the D-Rush Hour headlines, starting with the lead.
And our lead story is new security at the state capitol, security that went into effect today. We had the case of someone who broke into the capitol over the weekend and was found nude, sitting in the Senate chambers, claiming he was the governor. We, of course, had a legislators targeted by an assassin as well in their home. So security for our elected officials is top of mind, and many have been complaining about a lack of security at the Capitol. It's tricky because you want it to be open to the public, but you also want everyone to be safe. To get the update on the new upgrades at the Capitol, let's get to the head of the State Patrol, Colonel Christina Bogoyevic, who is with us on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. Tell us, you know, how I'm glad that you guys took action and we're glad that you got it started today.
Yes. As we started to look internally on what we could do immediately, rather than waiting for this third party assessment, to be completed, we knew one of those actions was to limit the number of public entrances into the Capitol building. And so we took three public areas with 14 doors, and we narrowed that down to two public areas with four doors, additionally allowing one key card access through the Senate building parking ramp.
So staff members and people who are need to be there all the time can get in. That makes sense. At this point, there's no metal detectors or anything like that. You need more buy-in from more people. Is that sort of what we're waiting for on that type of a move?
So some of those larger changes may come out in that third-party assessment, and those changes would be talked through as we look at the Capitol Advisory Committee and those meetings along with legislative leaders. A lot of, again, those larger security items need to be legislatively approved.
So what we'll have is maybe more Capitol security officers, perhaps more State Patrol at those public doors, just to frankly, I want to make sure the staff members and the legislators, where this is their workplace, that they feel safe.
Safety is extremely important to us for all of those hundreds of thousands of visitors every day that come into the Capitol, along with the legislators that work in that building every day. Our Capitol security build relationships with those they work alongside with. And so we need to ensure we're doing and addressing, again, those safety concerns. Since the horrific events of June 14th, we have put additional staffing at the Capitol with additional marked squads around the Capitol grounds. Again, just to ensure we know the public and the legislators want to feel safe. And so what can we do to ensure that they feel safe? And what can we do from an agency standpoint to address those safety and security issues?
Colonel, I know the Star Tribune also has reported on this notification system, an alert system used for legislators about emergencies. I think any parent who sends a kid off to college, you sort of know this type of system, right, where an alert gets pushed out to your phone. Why wasn't this used on the day of the political assassinations in Minnesota?
So you are talking about the Everbridge system, and the Minnesota State Patrol is responsible for the security of legislators on the Capitol grounds. That Everbridge system was set up for alerts specific to locations or buildings on the Capitol grounds, and not just legislators could sign up for that. So anyone who works on the Capitol grounds. But it's also important to address that it's a voluntary system. We cannot direct or command people to sign up for that system. We can only say that system is available. But again, it was very area specific to specific areas on the Capitol complex.
And now is there discussion about whether that could be expanded? I think most people think like, well, that would be a good idea.
So we are in constant communication with legislative leaders and Sergeant at Arms to talk about what that expansion would look like. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. I think, you know, a lot of this stuff that seems obvious and that are questions that are being asked today are things that this was really sort of an unprecedented thing in the state of Minnesota and frankly around the country. So I am glad to see that you guys have taken action so quickly before that review is done to try to, you know, make the Capitol a little safer, but still keep it open because it is the people's house.
I completely agree. It is a fine balance between security and openness into the Capitol area and into the Capitol building itself. And again, we take that responsibility seriously, and we will continually assess what those security measures look like, including stakeholders around the Capitol grounds.
Chief of the State Patrol, Colonel Christina Bogoyevich. Colonel, thank you. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Big changes, but needed. And it's impressive to see we didn't wait for a commission, for a thing, for a review. Like, let's go. Next in the lead, a chance to, well, save a life, really. Hundreds of pets in a Minneapolis shelter need homes, and they're taking a big step on Wednesday to try to make it Wednesdays to try to make it a little easier for you. I think this is really cool. So we wanted to talk to Danielle Jorger from Minneapolis Animal Care and Control. She's the supervisor there, and she's with us live on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. Danielle, it's good to visit with you. What are you guys doing over the next couple months?
Well, thank you so much for having us. So, yeah, throughout all of August and September, every Wednesday, we are offering fee-waived adoptions. This means we got a grant from the ASPCA, the Rescue Effect is the big promotion that they're doing right now. And it's a campaign to help support, animals in shelters getting new homes so that the shelters can help other animals. And so what that entails is anybody that comes to adopt, whether you're a resident or non-resident, because we do have slightly different fees for both, it is going to cover that adoption fee, or it'll cover the licensing fee. That's the fee that residents pay in order to adopt.
And what is that fee? Is that often is that an issue? Is that something that maybe prevents people from adopting?
For some, we are probably one of the least expensive shelters or rescues to adopt from. Right now, if you're a Minneapolis resident, you don't pay an adoption fee. You just pay a licensing fee that has to be done in a city, which is no more than $30. And then if you are a non-resident, it is $100 for a dog or $25 for a cat. And then the only animal that has a slightly higher, if it's a puppy that is 6 months or younger, it's a $250 adoption fee.
Danielle Jorger is with us, Minneapolis Animal Care and Control. How many animals do you guys have, like on a typical, I don't know, today, what do you have there, I guess?
So today when I walked in the building, we had 100 animals just in the building. We have a good other probably 30 to 40 out in foster that we're supporting as well.
100? This is just the city of Minneapolis, 100?
Correct.
Wow.
Yep. Between dogs, cats, and we actually have some critters right now. We had 100 in the building.
What's going on? Why do you think you have so many? Or is that the new normal for you guys?
It's somewhat become the new normal for us. I mean, it is higher. Our intakes have continued to increase year over year ever since 2020. There's a lot of factors. One of the biggest ones we hear is like housing instability and other factors of people not being able to afford keeping their pets with them.
Sure. Yeah, you think, wow, that's so interesting. Like another sort of ripple effect of uncertainty with the housing. I think, man, Danielle, I think people don't understand like the high cost of rent, the instability in the economy. It affects mm-hmm. so many different things that maybe aren't obvious on first blush.
Oh, absolutely. This is, we never knew what kinds of things would come from COVID and other things
yeah.
that happened, in the economy and in the world. And pets are part of that. They're a big part of a lot of people's households and families. But when they're affected, it affects the pets, too.
So PCA gives you a grant of $13,000 or so. And so that's significant money, and you're able to do this. Today was the first day.
Correct.
And you're going to do this straight through the end of September, right?
Yep. Every Wednesday in August and September, we will be running this fee waived adoptions from the grant itself. Today, we already had 14 adoptions, 7 cats and 7 dogs left to their new homes.
Huh. Cool. All right. Very good. And can people see what you have in the shelter? Is there a way to see before they come, or should they just pop
on? Absolutely. Nope. I mean, they can do either, but they are on our website. Everything that's available for adoption is on our website, and you can view the cats, dogs, and critters that are ready to go on there ahead of time. It is real time, so it's updated about every 20 minutes.
Are we talking guinea pigs? Is that the...
We have 2 guinea pigs right now, yep, and a mouse. Right. Mouse isn't quite ready for adoption, but we also have a pet mouse.
I'm looking at Nix and Stevie. So Stevie and Nix would have been the better way to say that, but the two guinea pigs who you have up for adoption. Pretty cool. Well, I appreciate all the work that you guys do trying to find pets, homes. The investment that the city has in this is significant, and it makes our community better. But people from any city can take advantage of this on Wednesdays. Pretty cool.
Absolutely. Or any day of the week, come on down and adopt if you're looking for a new friend.
All right. I used to have Danielle on the Channel 4 Noon Show back when we were doing like pet adoptions.
Yes, we did.
Back in the day. So very good. It's nice to visit with you again. Thanks, Danielle.
Thanks so much, Jason.
Pretty cool. Go if you are looking for a dog or looking for a cat, check the Minneapolis Animal Care and Control. Pretty cool. Free adoption. Wednesdays only. So you can wait till next Wednesday. That is the lead. Page 2 coming your way in just a minute. New York Times is going to go in depth on one of Minnesota and America's biggest companies. And Justin Jefferson is selling his home, and I'm sort of sad about it. His unexpected sale price. We'll talk about that when we come back. All right, page 2 of the D Rush Hour news headlines begins with a New York Times profile going deep on one of Minnesota and America's biggest companies, United Health Group, which, over the last 2 years, the New York Times writes it's been hit with just about every misfortune that can befall a company. A gargantuan cyber attack, federal investigators, a criminal inquiry into one of its most important businesses, the murder of a top executive, a public relations crisis, disappointing. I mean, on and on and on. The old CEO is back, Stephen Hemsley, who is 73. He's getting $60 million in stock options. Steve's going to be fine. I would come out of retirement. Like if TV called me up. And they're like, all right, Jason, we would like to bring you out of your television retirement. I would come out. I would probably do it for, I'd do it for 5% of that. United Health is kind of a paradox. The size of the company allows it, in theory, to improve healthcare for all of us, right? They have the power to sort of get their will. And so if they're working for good, it is very good. If they are working, well, that's what federal investigators are looking into. There is a growing consensus among policymakers that Medicare Advantage, and these are those plans that people buy and opt into, and they're very successful, and people are obviously choosing to pay to have Medicare Advantage. But they say part of the problem is that insurers use diagnostic codes that overstate patient illnesses. And so they're fleecing the government, is what a lot of policymakers think. The youngest drivers are the worst drivers, especially the younger men. Cairo TV in Seattle writing this story, and it's pretty interesting. It's a story that digs deep into the most recent data on auto injuries. So it's looking at 2023, when you look at people between the ages of 15 and 24, 203,000 of them were hurt as a result of crashes. Under 20, the most at risk. And you say, my first thought was like, well, maybe there are a lot of young people on the road. Nope. 5% of all licensed motorists are under 20s, but they account for 12.6% of collisions. And I can say, as someone who totaled my father's station wagon at age 16 on the way to the homecoming dance, when I allegedly failed to yield to oncoming traffic while turning left, we are stupid at that age, maybe even more stupid today, because 84.5% of drivers who are 19 to 24 say they know that texting or using your phone is dangerous. And 45% of drivers those ages admit that they sent a text or used their phone in the last month. Justin Jefferson is selling his home. But I think you are going to be a little surprised at how modest the Vikings receiver's home is.
I'm a one person. I ain't got no big family, man. I don't need to be in no, you know, $10 million mansion. That's not something that I came from. I grew up with parents that was grateful for what they have, and I was grateful for what I grew up with. So I never grew up having no big old house. Maybe I'll move on to that. Maybe not. So I guess we'll find out sooner or later.
That was Justin Jefferson talking to reporters at Vikings training camp last year, because you might remember that Netflix show Receiver shot video of JJ in a very non-Vikings player kind of home. Amber Grove Heights, typical townhome, generic. You look at it, and if you're on the stream, you can the video stream on YouTube, you can see the picture of this house. I'm going to show you the listing as well. So I found the listing. Coming soon, $439,000. I mean, it's nice. It's a four-bedroom, three-and-a-half bath, 2,300 square feet. Like, this is a nice townhome.
It's nice when you can buy a house with the spare change in your couch cushions.
Justin Jefferson signed a four-year, $140 million contract. He is one of the few Minnesotans who could afford the most expensive listing that is currently on the market right now in Minnesota. And that would be a $55 million Lake Minnetonka mansion. He could afford it. Now, don't you love the humbleness? Don't you love? I mean, and also, like, you know what, JJ, you got paid. Go get the mansion. Maybe like a $5 million. Like, going from a $400,000 townhome to a $10 million home has got to be something else. That's the D-Rush Hour News headlines, the lead in page two in just a minute. It's your time to say, I've had enough. What have you had enough of? Dan and I have some items on our list. What are you sick and tired of? 651-461-9226. You can send us a voice message, too, if you use the Odyssey app. What have you had enough of? I'd love to hear about it from you. Drive Time, coming back in just a minute. What are you fed up with? It can be serious. It can be silly. 651-461-9226. Your text, your calls, welcome, your voice messages using the microphone on the Odyssey app right next to the Listen Live button on the WCCO page. Click that microphone. It comes right to us. First thing I want to share is that Amber Alert was canceled. The Minnesota BCA announcing that Dior and Ashley Gooch have both been found and they are safe. So that was that Columbia Heights missing, sort of a kidnapped one-year-old. At least that's what they thought. We don't know all the details yet, but the Amber Alert is canceled. Both have been found safe in Minneapolis. So good news there.
Had enough of people taking kids.
Stop taking your kids. Not a fan. Dan, I want you to get us started because you have two. You are just loaded up with anger.
I've had enough of a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
How about
that? I get
that?
I get it.
The first thing I've had enough of, Jason.
Yep.
If you're going to go to a WNBA game, can you please not be a knucklehead and throw a sex toy on the floor?
What are they?
I can't believe we have to actually tell people this now, but for the third time, some ding-dong has chucked a sex toy onto the floor in the middle of a WNBA game. And people are getting arrested now, and they should be. Arrested, banned from the building, and smacked upside the head. This is just stupid. Of course, they're doing it for the video, right? They're trying to get some sort of reaction on social media, I'm sure. But it can't possibly be worth it when you're potentially injuring somebody, not from chucking the thing on the floor. That's not going to hurt somebody. But if it's in the middle of gameplay, somebody's going to step on it, roll an ankle, or do something worse. It's just stupid. It's juvenile and ridiculous, and it just needs to stop. I've had enough.
What are people throwing?
Sex toys.
Like all different kinds? Or like
I haven't really broken it down by type.
Because there's lots of different products. Yeah,
well, I'm sure you're fully aware of that. But the point is, this should not be happening.
And you called the people who are doing it...
Ding-dongs.
Are they throwing ding-dongs?
No.
No.
They're throwing other things. But the point is, don't do it. Don't do it. And part of this, too, somebody's going to get mad at me for saying this. But part, you don't see people doing this at like a men's game, right?
Not yet.
This is something that's, taking a league, it's about sports, but it's women, so now we got to sexualize it. And it's just stupid.
It's sexist, too, right?
Absolutely it is.
Yeah, I don't know, three times. It's very strange because you think of the WNBA fan. Like, so what? I guess what is? Like,
but at least
you buying a ticket to go do this.
Somebody did, because there was one of them that the story that I read about it today said that one of the people that did it, security raced into the stands to try and catch him, and whoever it was fled the building. So clearly they're not there for the game. They're there to look at an opportunity to do this and think that they're going to make, I don't know if they're doing it for TikTok or whatever they're doing it for. But they're not there for the game. They're not a fan of the game. They're just doing, they're trying to get attention. It's just pathetic.
And so Sophie Cunningham tweeted earlier, August 1st, so 5 days ago, she tweeted about this, to stop throwing. I think I can say it, right?
Go, if you want to, go right ahead. I wasn't going to, but
stop throwing ding-dongs on the court. And then she said, you're going to hurt us.
Yeah.
And then she did update that. I saw that post maybe today that she updated it, where it was like, this didn't age well. It's not cute. It's not funny.
It's not. And, yeah. And the bummer of it is, the first time it happened, everybody sort of kind of laughed it off. Okay, well, that was...
Right.
But it got attention. And so now you got the rest of these idiots thinking, oh, okay, I can go to a game and throw something on the court and I'll get attention too.
Not good.
It's ridiculous. Pathetic. I've had enough.
I'd like to thank all the people who have texted in telling me.
Yes. Yeah, we know what it is. We know the word.
I was just trying to make Dan uncomfortable.
I know you were. I knew you were.
And see if he would say it.
Nope, not doing it.
I would say it, but I feel like I think I can say it legally.
Legally,
the FCC
I
is not coming for me.
It. No, I don't think that's going to happen.
But I feel like the world does not need audio of me saying that. You know what I mean? Like at some
right, it's
point,
it's going to turn into a liner.
Yeah, that's right. It'll either be played again.
Yeah.
Or at some point, like I'll be trying to do something more respectable with my life.
Right.
And then someone trying to take me down will. I mean, I guess I could. Now you have the ultimate. You just blame AI. Like, well, it's probably manipulation.
There
I would
go.
Never.
Clearly, I would never say such
say
a thing.
That. A texter saying they should also stop throwing gophers on the ice at hockey games in college.
Sure.
Do they throw probably stuffed gophers?
I would hope. I mean, they're throwing octopi on the ice in Detroit, so maybe.
We don't need to throw anything but hats. If there's a hat trick,
you can do that.
Then you can throw the hat.
But don't throw stuff on the court during gameplay or any other time.
Very
just don't
good.
Do it.
Very good. Do you want to do another one?
No, I'll wait. I'll let some other ones go, and then we can circle back to me.
Dan has another one.
I do have another one.
The texters The texters are saying they were also just trying to make you uncomfortable.
Oh, I don't doubt it.
Making you see that. Adam. Oh, Adam said the word this morning.
That doesn't surprise me.
I don't know that. I mean, it's dinner time. Like, I'm not opposed, right? This is a sex positive show.
Absolutely. Which is why, I mean, sex toy is a perfectly descriptive term. Everybody knows what we're talking about. We don't need to get into the vagaries of it.
Jason, I hate all of this. Oh, boy.
Wow.
This road construction and constant detours, throwing the awful heat and humidity, it has not been a fun summer.
It's been a lousy summer. And we still got plenty of it left, unfortunately.
I feel like I'm enjoying myself this summer, but I'm enjoying myself less than I would be.
You're enjoying yourself despite the summer, the lousy summer.
Yeah. Yeah.
But you can also admit it's been a lousy summer.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's been terrible.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a very good enough. I'm with you 100%. 651-461-9226. I've had enough of all the fraud in Minnesota, and no one is held accountable. Well, we did finally shut down, or at least ask the federal government if we could shut down an entire program. I do think, and look, I'm not here to write strategy for the Republican statewide candidates. I mean, next year's going to be pretty amazing in Minnesota, right? You're going to have a governor on the ballot.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have a Senate. U.S. Senate.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, all the reps are always up. Then you're going to have two mayors. But if I were running for one of these offices, I would just wake up in the morning, talk about fraud, go to an event around lunch, talk a little more about fraud. It would just be nonstop fraud talk. Because I don't know that this is necessarily a partisan issue. I think everybody agrees, like, this is out of hand. And it comes, I think, from a good-hearted place. But when times are good, you can be a little more like, well, you know, the overall good of this program, it's worth having a little bit of fraud in the system to do the good and get the stuff to the people sooner. Times are not good. So we don't have the luxury for that sort of laissez-faire attitude.
And it's just been, I mean,
it's,
you know,
one after the next.
That's just it. You know, if it's a little bit of fraud here and there, that's one thing. But
we don't like any fraud, but like life is real. We live in the real world.
And you can't let perfect be the enemy of good, right? I mean, you're trying to do good stuff for people here. If it's not perfect, okay, let's still do the good stuff. But when it's been as rampant and as ridiculous as it has, and I mean, it's not that nobody's being held accountable. There are people going to jail right now. We just had another big case.
Feeding our future.
Right.
Yeah.
There are people going to jail. But where people haven't been held accountable is in the state system.
Took the feds to prosecute.
And that's the, that's too. Where it's the biggest problem is that, you know, there's nobody that said, hey, yeah, you needed to be watching things here, and
right,
you weren't. And the governor's brought nobody out to say, OK, this person's got to go. We got to make
so
some changes.
Weird. Like, I just don't understand.
Well, and it's such a simple move for him
politics.
To do.
It's politics. Like, there's always a sacrificial lamb. Where was the sacrificial lamb?
Nowhere.
Jerome is in his car. Jerome, what have you had enough of?
I've had enough of these motorcycles driving down the middle of the lanes, and the dude just went by and he bumped my mirror. And it's like, come on.
Yeah.
Why would they even pass a law for this?
It's going to take a while to get
it's
used
ridiculous.
To it. I got to be honest. I've been at a stoplight a couple times, and you so, if you're lucky, you hear it before you see it.
It's jarring.
It's a little jarring. Yeah.
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 Why would they pass a law like that?
Well, I think the issue is that because drivers of cars are so out to lunch these days, that people are slamming on their brakes in sort of unpredictable ways, and it's very dangerous for the motorcyclist. So if you have that, like, stop-and-go sort of traffic, the theory is it's safer for the motorcyclist to be able to kind of go down that middle of the lane.
Not if he's clipping Jerome's mirror. It's not.
Well, that's not. Exactly. Very good, Jerome.
That's
Thank
that's
you.
It's crazy just driving down that.
Yeah, I hear you.
All right.
Very good. Thanks, Jerome. Good call. Lots of texts coming in. We'll do more of those when we come back. What have you had enough of? Drive Time coming back in just a minute here on CCO. All right, a couple more texts from people. What they've had enough. Carrie from White Bear has had enough of that smart squirrel that figured out my squirrel-proof bird feeder. Oof. Yeah. Enough of the bottom of the cone melting and leaking. Oh, my gosh. It's either a sticky hand or an ice cream headache. Agreed. Agreed. That's a bad one. I am a cone guy, though. My wife always goes ice cream in a dish. Nah. Lame. It's gotten even worse, says a texter. Enough of the hotel prices going through the roof. I agree. Like, hotel, it seems like even like a so-so. You're better going to a fancy hotel because just the regular hotel is like 200 plus bucks. Ridiculous. I've had enough of commercials on streaming services that you pay for. Peacock and your commercials. Get out of here. Dan had one more enough, but as usual, he's had enough of me taking all his time.